with Pippa Hudson. And now,
Consumer Talk, featuring Wendy Nola.
Always lovely to have Wendy with us on the show, even if it is from a distance in the Johannesburg studio. Great to have you with us to chat Black Friday shopping today, Wendy. Welcome.
Thank you, Pippa. Hello from a very hot Joburg compared to Cape Town.
Yes, we are enjoying all extremes of weather all over the country at the moment.
I had to strip off when I got to the airport.
Thanks for that visual picture. I'm sure the audience will be delighted.
Not entirely.
Okay. We are, of course, talking Black Friday shopping today, but just a reminder that after half past two, we will make some space for open line calls as well. If you are wanting to join the conversation, the number to dial is 021-446-0567, or you can leave a voice note on 0725671567. Wendy, I say Black Friday, but it's really no longer only about one Friday in November, is it?
No, I mean, I have to, as a consumer journalist, I have to say sadly no, because there are bargains to be had. But I think a lot of people who lack discipline and perhaps impulse control, it gets them into, it's more opportunity for them to get into a whole lot of trouble. But yeah, I suppose it had to happen. In the past 5 years, South Africa has embraced the US sales bonanza phenomenon that's now a global phenomenon, Black Friday. So it's gone from being just that one day, which it was at first, to a week. And now this year, Pick and Pay has announced that it's gone ahead and called it Black November, and the sales start online with them next week already.
Okay.
So I think to say that South Africans have embraced Black Friday is a massive understatement at this point. According to the website Black Friday Global, which is a mine of information, in 2018, South Africa had a 1,952% increase in sales compared to an ordinary sales day in South Africa. That's verging on a Zuma-esque kind of number.
Yeah.
A spike second only to Germany's 2,418%. And bear in mind, the world average spike on that day, if we're sticking to the day itself, is 663%. So you can see South Africa at 1,952%. We really are
enthusiastically embracing
of Black Friday enthusiasm. Exactly. So off that wonderful website, I got a few other Black Friday stats pertaining to us here on the southern tip of Africa. On the South African internet, the intensity of shopping was at its peak between 8 and 11 in the morning on the actual day. Among South Africans planning to take part in the Black Friday frenzy, there obviously must have been a poll. Must be 48% already know what they want to buy. Almost half. So that's quite a lot of discipline there, quite encouraging. On past Black Friday, South Africans mostly bought in this order clothing, shoes, groceries, electronics, and home appliances. I suppose the clothing and the shoes come in at the lower end compared price-wise compared and groceries compared to your flat-screen TVs and cell phones and the rest. And South Africans are planning to spend around 1,735 rand per person, and that's both online and in actual retail stores.
Quite a lot of planning going on, and I'm encouraged by the thought around how much you're going to spend implies there is at least some concept of budgeting for the day.
Yes, and hopefully, yes, exactly. Budgeting, so in other words, a saving during the year and figuring out exactly what it is you need and waiting for Black Friday and then doing whatever it takes, queuing at a store from 9 in the evening so that you're at the front when the doors open, or, you know, going online, making sure what you want is on where it's on sale and at the best price, and then waiting to just go on at midnight on the 27th, is it this year?
I think it's the
29th. The last Friday of the month.
Friday of November.
Somewhere in my prep.
It's Friday the 29th, yeah.
29th, okay.
I mean, one of the big questions, Wendy, is are we actually getting good deals? Because I've quite often heard people say, you know, Black Friday as it is in America, you get massive savings, like 75% off electronic goods. Whereas here in South Africa, very often what is promoted as a Black Friday deal is not actually that big a deal at all. Do we have any stats on the sort of the quantity of the discount being offered?
So yes, on that Black Friday Global site, they have a handy little wheel that shows each country what the the population's perception was in terms of the percentage saving they were going to get on Black Friday and what they actually got. And South Africa was quite, it fared pretty well, statistically anyway. That's, so, well, it, although it dropped, the discounts decreased from, in 2017 was 61%, and, sorry, it was 60% last year and 61% in 2017. So much of a muchness.
Okay.
And apparently South Africans, the perception was that they'd be getting around on average a 57% a saving. So it's not too disparate that. But again, I'm a bit cautious about that because I'm guessing that the only data they would have had to go on would be the claimed discounts that the retailers were putting out there. And I know from covering this bonanza since it began in South Africa that often the discounts are overstated, that the retailers will sort of manipulate the prices in the months leading up to Black Friday. So you know, would
it looks
raise
like
them just
more,
before
yeah.
and so sort of artificially state the extent of that saving. I'm not saying in every case that would be quite an accusation, but there is definitely an element of that. So whether on average in total our saving last year was 60%, well, I'm not entirely sure that's accurate in real life, but I would venture to say that the savings are significant, especially if you're a wily shopper and you've been tracking those prices and you know exactly how much of a saving you're going to be getting and then decide, yes, I'm definitely going to go all out for this.
Right. So, well, let's put it out there for some anecdotal feedback. Listening today, have you scored a really good deal on Black Friday? How much of a discount is the most that you have managed to obtain? What was it for? And did you walk away from that purchase feeling it was worth the long queue or the wait outside or the slow internet site or whatever it was that comes with the Black Friday shopping experience? Was it a good deal in the end? If you want to tell us what kind of a deal you scored, you're welcome to leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Look, I'm one of those people for whom the thought of going anywhere near a bricks and mortar store on Black Friday is anathema. It fills me with utter horror. I have made some attempts at shopping online in the past, and Wendy, you know how badly that usually ends for me, so I probably shouldn't have
I do indeed. You're my tester.
It just always goes wrong for me. But let's chat to somebody who's with me in studio here in Cape Town. He's got a lot more insight into particularly the e-commerce transactions associated with Black Friday. Brendan Williamson is Chief Sales Officer at Paygate, which processed around about 64% of Black Friday transactions last year, and predicts they will handle probably 70% of them this year. Brendan, welcome to Cape Talk. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
What are your stats telling you about the growth of Black Friday as a phenomenon in South Africa?
I think Wendy is spot on in terms of what she's mentioned earlier in terms of the growth. It's phenomenal in terms of the South African economy, in terms of how they've adopted Black Friday. I think we need to keep in mind in terms of the struggling economy that we currently have been through. So when a good deal is presented to a consumer, they're quick to grab that in terms of holding back and waiting for something good to come across the line. I mean, as Wendy mentioned, some of the stats, I mean, it's, you know, you're looking at increases, I mean, coming off a low base of 9,900%. Plus in terms of the adoption of Black Friday in South Africa. If you speak to consumers, some of the stats show that at least 67% of the e-commerce savvy online consumer participates within Black Friday. And that's brick and mortar as well as in the card not present space. We see it head on in terms of being a payment service provider within the space in terms of the hype around Black Friday.
Yep.
And the continued growth that we've seen. We predict an approximate 30% growth again for 2019 over and above 2018. So we're all geared up, ready to go. And if you speak to everybody out in the space as well, the consumers are all holding back, really, and waiting for the 29th of November.
I mean, in previous years, we've seen some disastrous situations, particularly in terms of websites falling over under the increased traffic and slow processing of payments, etc. Do you think more of the retailers are themselves getting more savvy about that, about saying, not only are we going to participate, but we are going to put steps in place to make sure that our back end holds up, our shopping experience remains a good one?
I think, you know, no one could have predicted what we've seen in the past few years with regards to Black Friday. So it's been very difficult for online merchants to predict what they would actually see or what would come through their platforms on the Black Friday day itself. A lot of e-commerce merchants are a lot more savvy when it comes to that now in terms of backup processing, the ability to scale databases to handle and manage the volume. And if you look at the industry itself, and we start preparing for Black Friday 6 months in advance now.
Really?
We start going into discussions in terms of support structures, etc. We work very closely with the banks in South Africa in terms of a war room approach, where there's physical war rooms that are set up. Mm-hmm. Some of our team will be on site with some of our retailers at midnight, making sure that everything runs smoothly as mm-hmm. well. So there's a lot of preparation that now goes behind the scenes to make sure that it runs as smoothly as what it could run. But as I say, very unpredictable still in terms of how the consumer takes it.
Okay. The fact that some of the retailers are turning it from a one-day event into a week-long event, or now some of them even a month-long event, how do you feel about that? Do they not run the risk that sort of milking it in that way might actually just lead to customer fatigue, I guess is the term I'm looking for?
Yeah, it's a very interesting take on it. You know, I think what retailers have realized that there is a hype around the whole November Black Friday, and some paydays are staggered. So yeah. Retailers have stepped in and said, well, how do I make the most of a staggered payday within the South African economy? So, you know, if I get paid on the 15th in terms of government, the 25th or the 31st, let me see if I can grab some of that from all aspects. It definitely, you know, if we're looking at the Black Friday stats, Black Friday, the day itself, that, you know, it definitely supersedes the entire month from a sale perspective.
Okay.
But I think a lot of retailers have just caught into the hype with the consumer in terms of being able to encourage Black Friday or November as a sale month.
Yeah.
And you'll find a lot of the sales to Black Friday will be a little bit watered down, won't be so significant, but the big sales will happen on Black Friday itself. I mean,
okay. Wendy, any further questions you'd like to put to Brendan?
In terms of gearing up, do you think, I mean, for me, obviously, consumer journalism, I'm sort of looking for what's out of the ordinary, what's going wrong. Do you feel that there would still be an excuse for a retailer now in 2019, in our fifth year, not to have scaled up sufficiently, for the websites to wobble? Do you think that they should be still getting these sorts of surprises that cause them a lot of heartache and consumers a lot of frustration?
I think if the merchant's been
putting you on the spot,
not a problem at all. I think if you've been in it, you should have a really good idea in terms of what this day is going to look like, you know, in 2019. You know, there really isn't much of an excuse in terms of the infrastructure. I mean, South Africa runs first-class infrastructure when it comes to data and hosting, etc. You know, everybody talks about cloud-based systems now. You know, so if you're a merchant that attracts that type of traffic, you know, you should really well be geared up. I mean, give you an example for us now. We went through a situation. I mean, we've had to gear up significantly in terms of the traffic that we see running through our platform, and we've now got the capability of auto scaling. So, you know, on the day if we see that we're running out of space, or the database is taken over, it automatically scales now to be able to cater for the volumes that hit our systems. You know, that's the type of technology that's now available. You know, in the past that wasn't. Yeah. You can imagine running down to a server room trying to stack servers and rack things and get engineers on to get that going. You know, with what's available at a push of a button, really, in terms of the cloud providers now, there really shouldn't be much of an excuse to not get it right.
Okay,
can I just jump in with a follow up question there, Brendan? For somebody, I don't know the stats, you probably do, but it's very high, the number of people that shop online that have been resistant and afraid of it, who actually take the plunge on Black Friday for the first time. What would you say to somebody who is unfamiliar with online shopping and is now going to jump in at the deep end and try and grab themselves one of those specials? What advice would you give them in order for them to have the best experience? In other words, I would suggest you should have a practice run, because things take time and wobble and all sorts of things on Black Friday. But any specific advice for that person who is caught up in the hype and thinks, right, this is my chance to get in with this whole online shopping thing?
And let's be honest, that's an absolute reality. Mm-hmm. For a lot of consumers out there in terms of stepping over the line and doing the whole e-commerce online shopping thing. Personally, from a personal experience, which I do as well, and I've suggested this many many times, is if you're going to go that way and if you're going to do it for the first time, mitigate whatever you feel might the risk be associated to it. So designate a single card, a card that you'd purely only use within the online space. Reduce the limits on that card to the minimum or bare minimum that you want to, that you want to transact for. So, you know, just little things like that. I mean, the likelihood of it being compromised is very, very slim. But in the event that you just want to give yourself that bit of a peace of mind, is choose a single card. That's your online card. That's the card that you use to shop within the online environment, and reduce the limits on that card. So if, for instance, it did have to get compromised, you know, it's a single card that's compromised, the limits are low, and you can almost just shut that one down if anything had to go wrong. And that's really one of the best advice I can give to anybody trying to venture into the space is just mitigate it by doing that. Choose a card. Use that as your online card. If something had to go wrong, you can go straight to the bank and say, this is the card that I used, etc. But as I say, in today's times, in terms of the security that's now provided on all these platforms, that should be really, really a last resort if you have to shut down a card.
Any other tips in terms of, things you can do to prepare in advance? Brendan, is it worth, you know, pre-registering on sites that you're planning to shop on, for example, to save yourself wasting time in the queue on the day itself?
Yeah, a lot of online stores have now introduced the ability to almost fill your basket literally just before midnight on certain items. So they don't allow you to hold items in your basket for too long. So you couldn't put something in there a month in advance, for instance, and then hope it changes. But some online stores allow you to dump a few items in there just prior to the midnight sale. So that the time that, you know, when the clock strikes midnight and the sale goes on, you've got your three items in you and you can push checkout as fast as possible. But it definitely does help, you know, where you can go onto sites, bigger sites, where they allow you to store your card information in a secure way. So your card's already stored there, for instance. You don't have to go re-enter your card number, so it gives you the speed of checkout. We don't have the true Google experience or the Amazon experience in South Africa where it's literally just a one click. You still have to, of course, enter your CVV, and you've got 3D Secure now that still comes into play. So it's not as fast as what you would experience in the international space, but it does allow you to get a little bit of a step ahead in terms of saving your card information and the items in your basket, which we do see a lot of guys do take opportunity of.
Some savvy advice. Thank you so much, Brendan Williamson, Chief Sales Officer at Paygate. They processed 64% of the Black Friday transactions last year, and the number looks set to go up to probably 70% this year. Appreciate your input there, both on the part of retailers preparing and customers. I know Wendy has some more tips for customers, which we'll share with you after the 2:30 news headlines.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
Call now 021-446-0567.
We're back with Wendy Nola talking Black Friday news. So, Wendy, we got some insights there from Brendan with advice on a couple of tips like pre-registering on the sites, etc. What other advice can you share for consumers who are planning to shop on Black Friday?
Okay, so Brendan covered the very good advice I thought there about having a separate card with a specific limit for online shopping.
Yep.
The same applies on Black Friday as it does on any other day. That is, choose your, if you're going online where you can't see anything except your computer screen, choose the retailer carefully. So Google them, make sure they have a track record, make sure there's not a ton of complaints about them in terms of delivery on Hello Peter, etc. There's just a rash of them at the moment, so much so that the Consumer Goods and Services Ombudsman has started putting out name and shame warnings about the biggest transgressors. So really, if you specifically for online, do your homework. Know that you can't take something back legally unless it's defective, and that's within 6 months. So, you know, if you're buying online, you have that 7 days in which to return something. Yeah. Cooling off period, it doesn't have to be defective or anything. If you're buying from a store, they legally don't have to take back a product if it is not defective. And often with sales, especially mega sales, they'll say we don't take it back at all. Yeah. So bear that in mind. And also, if you are doing what is wise to some extent and you're Christmas shopping on Black Friday or Black Friday week, bear in mind that certainly that if you bought it online, that 7 day cooling off period will be long over unless you leave it to the last minute, which isn't advisable because of delivery delays.
Correct.
So that protection's going to be gone. I'm thinking of you last year with Christmas prepare.
Correct. And the Christmas present never arrived, yeah?
Yes. And if you're buying it the normal bricks and mortar way, especially electronics, things that can go wrong, if you're buying in October, by the time they're opened under the tree on Christmas Day, the 2 months of that precious 6 month warranty against defects has passed. It's not a huge deal, but it is a factor.
Yeah.
To bear in mind. And I think, just also my biggest warning, I think, is be mindful. So it's great when people use Black Friday to their advantage and to the economy's advantage to be very determined and mindful about what it is you want, where it is you're going to get the best deal on that item, and to do what's necessary to stay up, to put the item in the basket if it's online beforehand, et cetera, et cetera. My problem around the Black Friday hype is hype gets people to lose their minds a little bit. And if you are going to buy something just because it's a fantastic special rather than it's something that you really want or need, and bear in mind the statistics show that clothing and shoes are the biggest sellers on Black Friday. We are in a recession. Things are tight. You know, we've got lots of utility sharp increases to worry about. We haven't even got to the festive season yet where we're kicking loose and trying to reward ourselves for a hard year. I think so that the biggest warning for me is just a suggestion, advice, is to be clever, shop smart, be mindful, don't get swept up in the mania. Stick to your guns and then you can only but win out of this deal. But it's the ones that go mad that I worry about.
I wonder if anyone is prepared to share the story of the mad purchase that they've never used or made and regretted afterwards. I'd love to hear a few of those, as well as your good deal stories, with a voice note to 0725671567. We've spoken a lot about the online purchases. Someone's WhatsApp saying, a reminder that only credit cards are insured in case of online fraud. There's no recourse on debit cards or check cards. Is that correct, Wendy?
Yes, and also for chargeback, if for some reason you get some dud or fraudulent site and you don't get what you paid for, or you get something completely different from what you ordered, you can then apply to your bank that issued your credit card for chargeback and get completely refunded. In that case, you will have to prove that you didn't get what you paid for. But yes, certainly shopping by credit card on Black Friday is the way to go as a consumer protection.
Okay. Now, Game is one of the brick and mortar retailers that's perhaps most associated with Black Friday, and not always in a positive way. I mean, let's remember those chaotic scenes of the Century City branch back in 2017, the shoppers forcing their way in and damaging the store entrance and all of that. Wendy, I know you reached out to them in advance of this conversation to find out how they're preparing for Black Friday. What did they tell you?
Yes, so they've tried to mitigate. Obviously, they don't. Those sorts of videos doing the round on the news and then forever after on YouTube on something they really want to be associated with, their brand to be associated. And I've watched them again last night. Quite horrific scenes, really, in terms of an out of control crowd, and that's a mania that I'm talking about. And quite sobering, really, because the items in the supermarkets tend to be a lot more basic. So they toilet rolls and baby formula and, you know, essentials in many cases more than nice to haves. So they've hired additional private security officials. 96 of their stores will be opening at midnight. They're doing it again on the 29th, 1 minute into the 29th. A statement from a Game spokesman said, every year there's a bigger appetite for our Black Friday promotions, and as such, various interventions will be implemented to better manage the influx of customers and meet the expectations. They are trying the utmost to avoid those chaotic scenes and the shattered shop fronts and that sort of things. So some of the things they're doing are increasing the staffing and security, as I said, to improve how the customers get into and then out of the stores. Implementing, so I thought was interesting, well-supervised snake queues in the staging areas outside the entrances in those hours build up to midnight, so that there is a more orderly
ingress,
customer access, yes, rather than just ready, set, go, and you know, whoever shoves hardest wins, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So avoiding an out of control mob, And then ensuring that a team of high transaction volume IT specialists are available to quickly resolve any wobbles on their online platforms that could arise.
So yeah, that's so
on the online side. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was chatting.
I think for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I was chatting to Brendan just during the news headlines there, and he was saying, you know, one of the big things here for the retailers in particular is making sure that the user experience is a good one, that the website is working, that the order is processed quickly, that there is enough stock to support what is being bought, etc. And that is a key thing, that if something goes wrong, they need to have experts at hand to resolve it quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they don't want to lose the sales, and they don't want annoyed customers who think next year I'm not shopping with them, whoever it was.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think just to add, the end of Game's statement was that, you know, they do have exclusive deals available online from midnight on the 29th as well, which all the big retailers will have. So for those who can do without that kind of mob in your face shopping as an extreme sport kind of experience, and you and I would be the ones who among those who avoid.
Yeah.
Get your ducks in a row online. Figure out which card you're going to use, and find out which of those, if what you want to buy is on one of the big retail sites that do allow you to start putting things in your basket shortly before it's all ready, steady, go. That's a good idea. It just increases your chances of getting what you want and reduces your stress.
So a couple of people sharing their shopping stories here. One WhatsApp saying, Black Friday, my son got so lucky. He was looking for a new cricket bat and got a 4,000 Rand bat for 1,000 Rand. Lucky
wow.
kid.
Okay.
Another positive. Yeah, that's a huge deal. Another positive from Amy, who says, back when the website was called Spree, I got 3 wrap dresses for 200 Rand and I still wear 2 of them. One of my luckiest deals. This year, I won't be buying anything unless I can get a 45-inch smart TV for 1,000 Rand or a 100-litre bin for 20 Rand. Those are the only 2 things I need and want right now. So Amy's going
about
it the right way.
That's a very smart shopper. Yes. Separating her needs from her wants and thinking, I'll be looking. If the price is right, I'll take it. Otherwise, you can keep your specials. Thank you.
Here's the opposite end of the story. A WhatsApp saying, during the height of the drought, I bought a mini dishwasher with the intention of using less water. Bought it off Take a Lot and have never used it. It is still in the box. I just wash the dishes by hand. It goes to auction next week. Well, at least I hope you get some money back on auction.
Yes.
I'm smiling quietly because I bought one of those manual laundry roller things. I can't remember what it was called, but I queued for months and waited for months to get one and then never used it either. So I completely understand. I fell for the drought buying Black Friday. Just before we move away, and Abram and Jason, I see your questions on the phone line. We'll get to you in just a second. I just want to share one particular warning, because this isn't directly related to Black Friday, but it's a broader perspective on online shopping that's been flagged with you. Wendy was contacted by Natasha Palotta, who is the brand and marketing manager for Smeg in South Africa. And Wendy, she wanted to flag another business that is offering Smeg appliances for sale and then not delivering the goods. Tell us a bit more.
Okay, so the company is called Sutherland's Appliance Warehouse, also known as SAWCP. And they're offering a so-called clearance sale. And among the things they're offering is the very nice to have Smeg small appliances, which usually go at a very high price.
Yeah.
So the apparently bargain prices are catching a lot of customers off guard. Not the savvy ones. I mean, if you go onto the site, there's no contact number, for example, which is
a huge red flag.
Someone else went to there's an address. They think they say they're in Woodstock, if I'm not mistaken. Went to the actual building. No, there's no such enterprise there. And the other tenants in the building say there's always a line of people coming here to look for this company and to find out what's happened to their purchases. So basically, they pay their money. Not only Smeg, KitchenAid, De'Longhi, Le Creuset apparently as well. All the high-end, nice to have. And obviously, these brands are now getting the calls when people don't, you know, they pay the money and that's the end of it. So, just to say, if you find that site online, do not engage.
Do not shop there.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the site now, and I can understand why people are falling for it. For example, there's a Smeg kettle on offer at 1,000 Rand. And if you go and look on the Yuppie Chef site, it's retailing at 3,000 Rand for the same device. Yeah. And if an offer looks too good to be true,
I was just about to say.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So please do not shop on a Sutherland's Appliance Warehouse. We have been warned by the retailers directly. And thanks for sharing that. Okay. We're going to move away from Black Friday onto your other general consumer questions in the remaining 10 minutes. A reminder that the number to dial is 021-446-0567.
Cape Talk. WhatsApp 072-567-1567.
We start with Abram in Steenberg, who's been holding very patiently. Thank you so much for your time and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Wendy and Pippa. Wendy, I just want to thank you before I ask my question for the telecom issue that you solved for me. I'd say they reversed my account by 4,000 Rand.
That's great.
And also, yay.
And also my
I do love it when listeners... Good.
Yeah, my mobile phone as well. They refunded me a couple hundred Rand. So thank you, Wendy. Excellent work there. Wendy, I've been burning to ask this question for weeks now and I couldn't get through.
Okay.
The MTN mobile contract, I've got a SIM-only contract. I want to cancel the contract. I've still got a year to go. They wanting me to pay 145 per SIM. I've got two SIMs. A data contract. So 145 in order for me to cancel the contract. Is this right? Is this the right thing that they are doing, or can one fight them on it?
Are you saying 145 Rand to cancel a year early?
Yeah, 145. It's a SIM only contract for data bundle.
Okay. Given the stories I've investigated or the cases I've investigated, I'm surprised that's not higher if you're only a year into the contract with another year to go, Abraham. The short answer is yes, they can do that. The Consumer Protection Act says you can cancel a fixed term contract, but it also allows the suppliers, the companies to charge, in inverted commas, a reasonable cancellation penalty. Number of factors, impact on or influence what is reasonable, but if you only halfway through your contract, look, you don't have a phone that you're paying off. If you were, that the cancellation fee would be really high.
Not more, yeah.
But yeah, in short, you don't have a legal leg to stand on with when it comes to fighting that. I think just if you want to get out, pay that at 145 and move on.
Okay, thank you, Wendy. Thanks very much.
Okay,
Abram, thanks so much
for the lovely feedback.
Yeah, really nice to get that kind of positive feedback. Thanks so much, and well done, Wendy, on fighting the good fight with Telkom. Right, also holding for a long time, Jason in the Gardens. Thank you for your patience. Good afternoon.
Hi there. I hope you guys are doing well.
Thanks.
So I've got it's quite a long story, but I'll cut it down as quick as possible. I took my car for a service, and when I took it there, the guy asked me, like, what anything in particular I'm worried about. I said, well, I've got this long drive to the Cedarburg. Can you just check my brakes? He said, sure, they'll do a whole flat. As I was going over the Cedarburg mountain, my brakes cut out, like they failed. I was going down hill. Luckily, I had like 5% brakes and was gearing down. To get the car to safety. So I took it back to the mechanic. He admits that it was worker's negligence. He said that the one bolt, the nipple that sprays brake fluid, wasn't tightened correctly and it just loosened and all the brake fluid was coming out. He subsequently replaced he fixed that and the resulting cylinder that broke. And I had spoken to him, and I actually recorded the conversation I had with him, and I said, yeah, I want to get paid back for everything. And he said, yeah, that's fine. We'll pay you back for everything. I was meaning the service and just bringing my car in and everything that entailed. But when I came to pick my car up, he just wanted to pay me for the 2.5 liters of brake fluid that my car had gone through, which is like 5 things. So my question to you is there any more recompense that I can get out of
this,
or is he secure in his notion that just paying me the full brake fluid would be fine?
No, that's not fine. So any work, repair that is done is warranted in terms of the CPA for 3 months. So I'm guessing that less than 3 months passed between the service and you having that awful incident.
Yeah,
on the
That was 2 days.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a car. It was a car, not a mountain bike.
No, I said on the mountain
on
side,
the mountain
in your
side,
car.
Yes, yeah, okay. So it was a matter of days. So it's definitely still within the warranty period.
It's definitely still within the warranty period. So everything that you paid in respect of the brakes need to be refunded. I don't know if the invoice that you got from the from that mechanic was specific enough, but you're certainly most definitely entitled to a refund of that. I'm quite surprised. I mean, I get so many cases where the person takes the vehicle back and there's just a shrug and, well, we did our thing and there's nothing wrong on our side. Although I suppose with a failure that dramatic, it would be very hard for the mechanic to argue anything else. I don't know if Jason is still with us.
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would most certainly go back and say you need a refund of all work and parts and labor related to the work done on the brakes, the work that then failed.
Yeah. The thing that they said to me was like they changed the oil filter, and I said I just want to get a full refund as though I'd never come there, and and then that would be fine, and we'd write it off. And they said, well, we replaced the oil filter as well, so we'd have to take that up.
Yeah, like you would think as a goodwill gesture, and given what their negligence led to, you'd think that would be their go-to, that would be their natural response. But technically, the oil filter's fine, and everything else they did would be fine. So your refund due would relate specifically to the failure that you suffered.
Okay, so anything to do specifically with the brakes, Jason, you are within your rights to demand a refund. Outside of that, you're not, there isn't the weight of the law behind you. There is the weight of practical common sense customer service, but certainly by law, what is associated with the brake work should be repaid to you. I hope that's helpful, Jason, and let us know if you make any headway with them. Yeah, please drop a follow-up email to us on consumer@nola.co.za to let us know if you did get anywhere. Wendy, just anything you want to add to that story before we move on to the next question by voice note?
No, I think just to bear in mind that it is 3 months, and within that time, they must take responsibility, either redo the work or refund you for the payment you made for the part that failed. In other words, in this case, the brakes.
The brakes. Okay, thanks for that. Yeah. Let's take a listen to that voice note then.
Hi, Wendy and Pippa. Here's a quickie for you. I just had to pay to have change made at a bank. So I handed them 100 rand and they charged me 8.47 to give me change. Is that like normal? Thanks.
Wow,
I've never heard of that. I'm guessing the answer to this question is going to be that it's in their terms and conditions on their website, which nobody reads. So that would have come as a surprise. I think in terms of disclosure, that charge of 8.47 should have been disclosed before any change started happening, before that transaction happened, so that she could have an opportunity to say, I don't think so, thanks. I'll find another way of getting the change I need. I think, and if it was, I don't know whether they put it on her bank statement. I don't know how that happened and what the disclosure was and wasn't. But in terms of the charge, I'm as I say, I've never heard of that before. No one's ever complained to me about it. I wish she'd mentioned the bank so I could go and look on their website. This might be what they're doing. I do know that banks are trying to make us stay away from their branches. Some of them have closed down a number. It's all about digital, and that anytime you go into a bank and have a service, you can almost certainly be assured that you're going to pay heavily for it.
Yeah, I mean, for example, I was charged, I think, 35 rand to print a single page statement of my account in circumstances in which I had no choice.
And we have to do that because you need the bank stamp. So it's just on top of the fees we pay, I think it leaves a bad taste in many of our mouths. But there it is. It's disclosed online and we take it or leave it.
Just be aware of it next time you're going in to make change. Thanks for flagging it with us. Right, we need to say goodbye there. Wendy Noda, thank you so much for the savvy shopping advice, and we'll chat again next week.
Will do. Thanks, Pippa.
And a reminder, if you do want to put a consumer quandary to Wendy, the thing to do is send an email to consumer@nola.co.za, spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R. Please remember to put Cape Talk in the subject line and just a word or two about the nature of the problem.